Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I am delighted to have you join us today for another edition where each time we get together on this program, we love to talk about, well, all kinds of things. And I especially love it when we have an actual live person in the studio, which we do today. And I'm proud to say she's also my friend. Welcome, Brenda Zamorano. Hi, Brenda. Welcome.
Well, greetings. It's such an honor to be here.
Well, these days, I just love having somebody over. So it's, I really appreciate you coming. Brenda Zamorano, you are a biblical prayer counselor. And I said there in the introduction that I'm also proud to say that you're my friend. Oh. I have so been personally blessed by your ministry. As a pastor, I also send folks to you. And I know you're very, very busy these days. But my goodness, how many years have you been blessing folks and helping them along the way?
Well, you know what? My story begins as the oldest of 11 kids. Starts there.
11.
11 kids. Gracious. And my precious dad was a teenager, 17, and he landed on the beaches of Normandy.
Wow. Mm.
And because of his life experience, when he got home, life in our home was intense, and there was a great deal of fear just because of my dad's life experiences.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And surviving that horrific time in his life.
Sure.
And so my husband and I met in high school. We got married in our 20s. I got born again in my 20s. Uh-huh. And I go on a journey myself of having to confront this ancient enemy. That enemy is called fear.
Yeah, and that's what we want to talk about today.
Yes, sir. And so biblical prayer counseling, I've been doing it 24 years.
Wow. You're a veteran.
I guess so.
And would you say, by the way, that fear is often, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but often or occasionally or almost always at the center of what really a lot of people are dealing with? Would you say that?
Here's what I would say. If we travel back to the garden and we see the beauty and majesty of Adam and Eve's creation, there was no fear. It was all beauty and perfection.
Absolutely.
What we believe the Bible teaches us is fear came in because of sin.
Yes, disobedience.
And so, like you and I've talked, our fallen nature was impacted in the very beginning by that ancient enemy called fear.
Yeah.
Because Satan hates you and me and all of us listening because you are the apple of God's eye.
Indeed.
And so Satan uses fear in that fallen nature to rise up against the God-created identity.
Recently, you said to me, can you just imagine what Adam must have felt? God's coming in the cool of the day.
Yes.
To walk. And Adam says, I was afraid. And at least that part is true because he's hiding. And for the first time feeling this horrible thing called fear, mercy, it just gets me in the feels every time I think about that.
Never feeling afraid. You're created in perfection. And suddenly you run and hide from God, and then you start blaming and accusing one another. And so I have said to many people that I've had the privilege to sit before, that which Holy Spirit has said to me, fear is the Goliath in the lives of my people.
Oh, wow, that's so good. I want you to say it again, and then I want us to unpack it. Do that again, Brenda.
So the Holy Spirit has said to me, fear is the Goliath in the lives of my people.
Wow.
Now, guess what the name Goliath means?
Oh, I don't remember.
It's a Hebrew name.
Yeah.
It means to uncover, to reveal, or to expose.
My goodness, that goes right back to the garden too.
Oh my. And so I've learned in my own life, anytime I am hit with any form of fear, it is going to expose to me what I run to, what I turn to, what I believe about God, myself, and others.
I mentioned to the congregation, and I think I told you recently that we're walking through a series of Sundays at Epiclesis where I'm teaching on fear, and we're looking at the aspects of fear, where does it come from. I've especially been asking the congregation to take a really long, hard look at what their own fears might be. And you have said to me, and it really made an impact, that when we're talking about fear, one of the most important things to do is to say, okay, like God did in the garden, where are you? And more specifically, where are you with your walk with the person and work of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Why is that? Why is that so important?
It cost Jesus everything for the Holy Spirit to live in us. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Mm-hmm. If I do not go, he cannot come. And so God so loves us that he gives his son Jesus, and Jesus so loves the Father that he gives his own life for us, so that now our time on this planet in 2021 gets to be a time where we break through this demonic enemy called fear, and we get to carry the antidote to fear, which is our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Affected by and helped along the way through the person and work of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Well, now you've said a lot there, and we need to unpack some of that. And by the way, I'm already thinking this is going to fly by, and I want us to have another conversation. So you have to promise me that we're going to do this again sometime.
Okay.
But first, I want to remind folks that they're listening to Ancient Future Faith. It's a ministry brought to you by Epiclesis. That's my church. You can always find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of the church, and today my very special guest and friend is Brenda Zamorano. She is a biblical prayer counselor. She runs a marvelous ministry called Hope in Life Ministry. I encourage you to look it up. Look into it. Brenda, you said so many good things there. We need to go back and unpack some of those things. And one of the most important ones was that there's something about our identifying fears and then battling them. We have to face them in order to battle them.
Yes.
And that goes back and picks up the Goliath theme in some ways. One of the most important things that we need to keep in mind in that battle is where we are with our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can you just unpack that a little bit more? I guess what you're saying is, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, to the extent that someone's relationship with the Holy Spirit is impoverished, that will affect their ability to fight fear, yes?
So here is what the Holy Spirit has taught me. When I am focused on fear, I turn inward to myself.
Sure.
My thoughts, imaginations, opinions, and speculations, as Paul writes it, are going to all center around what I think and what I believe.
Or imagine.
Which is what brought that original sin into being, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. So Holy Spirit, who is God, he is inside of us when we have had that second birth, where our spirit now has been made alive through the ministry of the blood of Jesus, bringing us into salvation, and Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in the human spirit. It's miraculous.
Marvelous. John 14, as I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am also in you. That happens through the person and work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Absolutely. And in that mystery, now Holy Spirit wants me to turn to him rather than me turn to me.
Inwardly and down.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So what I have learned to say to all my precious clients is, You will never defeat an enemy you don't declare war on.
Oh, now hold on. That's a good. You got to say that one again, too.
Okay. So I've learned.
Yeah.
Brenda, you will never defeat an enemy you don't declare war on.
Yeah.
And so my question is, have you declared war on fear in your own life? Because most of the time when I pose that question, the answer is no.
Or I've not really thought about it, or yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because see, my dad's war experience taught me. My dad told me the U.S. did everything they could to stay out of World War II. What changed? The Japanese bomb us at Pearl Harbor. The next day, the entire country comes together to declare war on this enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So the natural speaks to us about the spiritual.
Sure.
You will not defeat any enemy that you just live unconsciously allowing that enemy to drive the way you make decisions and step into your future.
Mm-hmm. And we best not do any of that. Well, we can't, but we certainly shouldn't even begin to try without partnering with the person and work of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is vital to your identity.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God says that you were formed in that secret place of your mother's womb. So God knows who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the war that's waging against your life, my life, is who has God created me to be?
Yeah.
And the whole beauty of Holy Spirit is to invite us into a union with Him.
Mm-hmm.
So all that was written in those books in Psalms 139, that every person listening to this would say, oh, Holy Spirit, I want to join you in the destiny that you have written in those books for my life.
I think that's so terribly important. And then if we could go back to the Goliath metaphor and the story there, we look at Goliath entirely differently, don't we? There's the Israeli army standing around scared to death.
Dressed in battle. Hey, yeah. They had their shields and their they were ready to fight.
That's right.
Frozen in fear.
And it was fear that stopped them from doing it.
Yes.
And here's this fella after God's own heart who's looking at the enemy differently because, Brenda, I bet you're going to tell us that he had to have thought differently about who he is and what his task is, and that faith had a big part of it, of course, but golly, he's emboldened there, isn't he?
David shows up as a teenager to bring some food to brothers, and all he knows is that he takes care of sheep and he spends time with God, playing some music and knowing God. And he hears this giant of a man, almost 10 feet tall, cursing and screaming.
And exposing everybody else's fear.
Exactly. And railing against the God of Israel, yeah, and the army of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid says, who do you think you are? And he says, you're the one that's coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I love about David writes in Psalms 25, he writes about his pain, and he says, forever I will lift my soul into your presence, O Lord. Will you be there for me, O God, as I keep trusting in you? Don't allow my enemies to gain traction over me or shame or defeat me. Lord, will you rescue me, for you are my only hero.
I love that.
And I love that David, who has fear in his life, the Psalms are full of his expression,
sure,
of facing the fear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But David models stepping over it, because what does he do? He doesn't wear Saul's armor.
No.
He's got some stones and he's got his sling. And he puts a rock in a sling, and he starts to run at the giant, and he hurls that sling over his head and he releases it. God works through one life. And there goes that rock, and the grace of God hits the forehead of that giant, and down he comes.
Ooh, you're going to preach it now.
So here we are in this day.
Yeah.
And we're facing giants, and we got to show up. And we don't show up if we're filled with fear.
That's right.
And we believe the lies of fear.
Yeah. One of the things that I imagine that spurred David on to action is the way that that giant rascal is profaning the name of God.
Yes.
This God that he has come to know. Oh boy, folks, let that sink in just a little bit. You talked about facing Goliaths and fears in these days, and that's where I want us to end up here in a minute. But let me remind you folks that you're listening to the wonderful Brenda Zamorano, my friend. She's a 24-year veteran of being a counselor, a biblical prayer counselor. She runs a marvelous ministry called Hope in Life Ministry. I want to encourage you to look into that. Brenda, one of the things I've been talking to my congregation about in the last few Sundays is, what are you really afraid of? Let's identify them. Let's come face to face with them. And then what do we do then? Could you just walk us through what do we do with these Goliaths in our lives these days? And don't you think, by the way, that fear is playing so much larger a role in the lives, even of Christians, than it ought to? We've got tools. We got to do something about it.
You see, what's going on with COVID and the lockdowns, the financial impact, the family impact, the medical and emotional impact, this is a pop quiz. And what's the pop quiz? Who am I going to look to?
Inward and downward?
Exactly.
Or up and out?
That's right. Colossians 3 says, fix your gaze on things above where Christ is seated. So number one, I am not going to defeat a fear I don't acknowledge.
Yes, and for those, I would just add this. I'm totally with you. There may also be some fears that are so well masked and camouflaged that that's where that relationship with the Holy Spirit comes in, because we need him to help us even identify them. Yes.
Well, that's true. I have done a lot of study on fear, and here are a few of the top fears of human beings. Number one, fear, death.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number two, loss of control over your own thoughts, actions, or impact. Number three, the fear of loneliness, being alone. Number four, the fear of getting sick.
Yeah.
Number five, the fear of being shamed or humiliated. Number six, the fear of failure or the fear of success. Both are very frightening. The fear of loss, the fear of rejection or being judged. A very big one is the fear of the future.
Yeah.
That's what's going on now. So what I work with people on, we identify that fear. And that's where spending time with someone can really bring things into clarity. Then we bring that fear to the light, to the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
We don't try to navigate its impact on our own. And that's where the cross of the Lord Jesus is so beautiful.
Amen.
Because he bore in himself all this fear. So he wants us to come to him. That's what he says in Matthew 11. Come to me, and I will give you rest. See, the rest of the Lord Jesus drives out fear.
I love that. I just love that. The peace that Jesus gives us, not as the world gives.
Correct. That's right.
Yeah. What does that look like, or what might some examples of that look like? You're working with someone and you're encouraging them to take those fears to the cross. What might that look like?
For me, I'll tell you what I've learned to do. I say it out loud. Speaking out loud, confession is a very powerful avenue of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus, I bring this fear of being interviewed on the radio today. There we go. Lord, I bring it to you, and I ask, Holy Spirit, you fill me with your presence. Now, I, like David, am going to show up, and I'm going to do the best I can do, but I'm going to leave the outcome in your hands. So the whole point here, which I think is so beautiful, is it gives us a chance with one another to connect in the middle of what is hard, so we're not alone.
And then we take that fear after confessing it. And do you help folks visualize that even? We're going to walk this thing up to the foot of the cross, and then with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to leave it there.
Oh, yes. Yes. In fact, there's been times when I've had them write it down and we'll cut it up. I've been in gatherings where we were able to nail them on a cross. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like very symbolic, but it was very powerful. Because it gives the human heart opportunity to let go of the way fear paralyzes and controls.
Yes, and also gives the human mind a really good fixed point and mental picture of when I did this thing.
That's right.
Because our ancient enemy is going to come back and say, well, maybe you didn't really answer. Are you still fearful? And you know what? No. Goliath, I already sunk that rock into your forehead.
You're defeated.
That's right.
Yes, you're defeated. And I think that the confession verbally, many times I walk around my office or in my home, Lord Jesus, I invite your Holy Spirit to cleanse this atmosphere right now from any fear. And I surrender to who you are. And I put my trust in you. And I think that is what is the gift that we get to give.
Marvelous.
To one another.
Yeah.
The antidote to fear is the presence of the Lord.
Yeah. And a reminder of what you said a few minutes ago, and that is, if someone is experiencing fear or think there might be some there that they might not even know about, one great place to start is, what's your relationship with right now, really honestly, with the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Brenda Zamorano, I think you are the cat's pajamas. Have you been called that today yet, by the way?
Never in my life.
It was a first for everything.
That's a first.
And I really want you to come back for us to do another one of these. Would you do that sometime?
Thank you. It'd be my honor.
Oh, well, folks, I've got to tell you how pleased and blessed I am that Brenda Zamorano has been my guest today. She is, I'm proud to say, not only a wonderful and gifted biblical prayer counselor, but she's also my friend. She's helped me out personally and so many lives over her 24 veteran years of doing this. My goodness. So until we gather again for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this, would you? Really ponder it. Surely the road to our Christian future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hey folks, one more really important word before you go. On the last weekend of October, the 29th and 30th, Epiclesis is hosting a retreat for the whole Christian community featuring best-selling author Rod Dreher. He wrote a marvelous book called Live Not By Lies, A Manual for Christian Dissidents. and you simply don't want to miss this amazing opportunity. Find all the information at epiclesis.org. That web address is epiclesis.org. It's going to be an amazing retreat, and I'd love to see you there.